but you remember though?
I still hang around. Neither lost nor found. Hear the lonely sound of music in the night. Nights are always bright. That's all that's left for me.
Yeah. He's rocking.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us. Sometimes it takes a long time to get into it. But welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Ms. Marva Herndon and Eric Simpson, and they're school board directors from Milwaukee Public Schools. You know, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I just think, you know, that this subject is as important a subject that we can talk about. And there are a lot of different things that happen. But when you look at what is going on in the city of Milwaukee with children in a system, and I'm not talking about the district itself, I'm talking about a city that some of us remember being accountable to families and children and whatever it took, the people before us made sure that that happened. They valued the children, mm-hmm. and our parents valued us. Mm-hmm. And so they valued education and they valued stability. And many of our parents are long since gone, and it made us who we are. Mm-hmm. But we now live in a system that does not have, it's not that the parents don't care, but we have a system, mm-hmm. that is broken down. And at the root of that system having broken down, it is unfortunately causing destruction to children and to families. And you just can't expect the district to be able to deal with that. And I think at the root of all of it with me will always be that. We had a gentleman who called earlier who talked about, you know, you got three systems. To be honest with you, we can't afford three systems, right? And even if we could afford three systems, the folks who run the government aren't going to, they're not going to support three systems. So that's where we are. We're dealing with three school systems when before, we had the public school system and then the private school system, and people paid the freight to send their kids. Parochial schools, which were around even when I was a young person, you know, parents paid to send their kids to parochial schools. But now, you know, all of these systems are going to be supported by the taxpayers. And it just can never give what is needed to balance what we got as young people with what kids and families are dealing with today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's absolutely true. We cannot, you know, those resources are spread too thin. Staffing is spread too thin, and we can't keep that focus on what's best for our kids in our public schools then.
So you're ex-educator. We live in a system now where educators are vilified. Mm-hmm. When I went to school, they were respected by parents, by community leaders. Educators were pillars of the community. They were akin to the pastor, to the doctor. We now live in a system that vilifies the educators. that vilifies the educators. And I don't know how you turn that around, right? So who wants to become an educator now? I know Milwaukee Public Schools has been trying, they've been going all over the world trying to get educators because nobody wants to be an educator anymore. Well, what do you get? Well, they only work 10 months out of the year. They're overpaid. I don't get eight weeks of vacation. So, and they're not succeeding. The kids are failing. Why should we be paying them? This is what you get. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Who wants to deal with that?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of stress in today's world because the kids bring so much baggage into the buildings that is in their environment the minute they walk out those doors, that those kids don't recover. And the teachers have to deal with that. I empathize with them. I tell them as a board director, my responsibility is to help them as with what they need to do their job. And I think that's true of all of us. We try to do the best we can. But, you know, if you think back, what was the priority for Scott Walker 10, 12 years mm-hmm. or 13 years ago? It was to attack the teachers. He vilified teachers. That's part of why they're so vilified in Wisconsin mm-hmm. to this day. And what did that do? His objective was to drop the salaries down.
Public school teachers.
For public school teachers, that's right. But he systematically attacked all the unions except, was it two? The fire?
Police and fire.
Exactly.
Right.
That did a big piece of damage to our economy. It was Act 10. So we had it coming from all sides. And that same mantra has been repeated throughout the country.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's bring Bill from Oconomowoc on. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Oh, what a great team and what a great discussion on education. And a lady just touched on it a minute ago. Scott Walker gutted education in Wisconsin. Well, you know, we say, well, why would he do that? Well, first of all, he's not educated. He didn't have a degree. He doesn't understand education. And what people don't understand about education, the far right, the people that are being tried as we speak, they don't understand that's an investment in America. Plain and simple, you don't have to have a doctorate to figure that out. And the teachers should be looked at like they did when you and I, like you mentioned, Earl. But this extremist far right, actually funded at times by Russia, we look to them to set direction? Are you kidding me? They have zero integrity, zero honesty, and zero diplomacy. They know nothing. They're about the most uneducated people. You're having uneducated people telling educated people what to do. That doesn't even make sense, period. So what do? We demand a rollback from the Scott Walker era. We have to challenge how he took down education. And if you want to put the fear of God into the parochial schools, they know by accepting taxpayer dollars, they could lose their tax-free status.
Well, so
if that's ever attacked, Earl, they'll change their minds in the New York
minute. So, Bill, you are right. That, you know, there was a time when there was this separation and tax dollars couldn't go to parochial schools or religious schools. But they changed that to accommodate, you know, many of these religious schools. And so that no longer is the case, Bill. And so this is legal now. So you can use federal dollars to support those schools. And here was the other part of it. A lot of this was created because those schools were struggling. Those schools were struggling. And so, you know, this was an attempt, and it helped bail those Catholic schools out because, you know, there were people who could not afford to continue to go. So Bill, I agree with you. We've got to go to a break, though, but thank you very much for the call. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. After all, it's Tuesday, not Saturday night, 1980. Remember that so well. Oh, man. Can I go back to that time just for a little bit? Anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is still Marva Herndon for one more session, and Miss Erica Seamsman. Seamsman.
It's okay. It's a hard one.
How did I forget it?
Seamsman. There you go.
And Marva, you wanted to say what as we get ready to wrap this up?
I want to say that this board has been a cohesive one that put the children first all across the board. Each of us brought our particular experiences, knowledge, and willingness to do whatever it took to improve the school district as best we could in the 4-year period. To that end, we've got a lot of unfinished business because we lost approximately 2 years with shutdown for COVID, but hardworking, cohesive people who are willing to sit down and work issues out to the betterment of the students and the staff. And our staff are hardworking. And we lack enough staff in the district. We need people at every level of employment to make the school environment for our children work. We've increased the art music fight or brought it back. It wasn't to be increased. It was to bring it back.
It wasn't there.
And I can tell you, I was at River Trail School last fall, October, and they had a celebration because they had had instruments, a music teacher, and an art teacher for the past year. And they did a Christmas, that's what it was. It was December. It was a Christmas celebration. I was so excited. I was almost in tears to see the kids have all of these instruments, have the teachers that they need, and the family filled the auditorium up.
So, Marvin, hang on a second. Let's bring Martin in from Milwaukee. Thank you very much for the call, Martin. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right.
And good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Earl, if I may, you know me. I'm just kind of a finance guy. I just follow the numbers.
Go ahead.
And I just want to bring to the attention of your guests and the audience, as we speak, I know MPS needs money. They could use every dime that they can get their hands on. My big thing is the recreation department cannot even afford to put water in the splash pads for the little children in our city anymore. That's how far we have fallen. But yet, you and your callers are talking about the state legislature and Scott Walker, and I agree 100% with all the negatives that are associated with them. But let us look at what is going on at the Common Council in the city of Milwaukee today. As we speak, the Common Council is going to give $30 million to Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company. And I don't know if your guests even know this, but in order for that money to go to Northwestern Mutual, MPS administration has to sign off on that. That money is coming from MPS, coming from Milwaukee County, coming from the city of Milwaukee citizens, and this money is going to Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company.
Because
the richest company in the state.
They're redeveloping a building that they have purchased or that they own to make it look like the shiny glass tower, you know, that they already have in place.
Earl, in the city of Milwaukee, we have never, ever given money to an entity in order to do residential properties. This is largesse. They're spending $900 a square foot, Earl, on this building. And the people of Milwaukee, some of the poorest people in America, have to pay for this thing. And I don't even know if your guests, who are the board of directors of a $1.4 billion corporation, if you will, do they know that the MPS representative did not even show up at the meeting when this was signed off on? And on top of that, Earl, we don't even have three aldermen. I can't even call my alderman because I don't have one. So this is all happening right now. They're taking money out of MPS and giving it to the richest corporation in the state of Wisconsin for residential property. This has never been done before, and I just want to bring it to your guests' attention, everybody's attention. This is what's happening in the back rooms in Milwaukee.
Hey, Martin, I wish I had more time, man. We've got to go to a break. Thank you very much. I'll be in touch with you, I promise you. Marva and Erica, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and spending with us this afternoon. Listen, my door is always open.
Thank you.
I am a supporter of Milwaukee Public Schools. I tell people that up front. It's where the majority of the children go. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to other entities, but I am concerned about where the masses of the children ought to be educated. And I think all of us should be concerned about that. For those who, are able to go to the other districts, that's fine. You're blessed. But, man, we got to worry about the masses of the children if we're going to do anything to turn around what's happening in this city. Thank you very much. Got to go to a break. Be right back.
Thank you.
to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And listen, I've been talking about some really tough stuff this morning, and I thought it was time to lighten the load a little bit as we start winding down. And when I first saw this, I couldn't help but wonder, what in the world is going on with Republicans? So the Republicans have decided we're going to run some candidates against United States Senator Tammy Baldwin. So we got to find somebody who we think that would be pose a threat to the Democrats and Senator Baldwin herself. Who can we find? We've got to get somebody a name, somebody that will wind up giving Senator Baldwin a run for her money. Who can we find? And they put on their thinking caps. And a guy named David Clark, a blast from the past. I don't know what you know about former Sheriff David Clark, Milwaukee County Sheriff, the cowboy David Clark, law enforcement, big time law enforcement, major supporter of Donald Trump, who, became a conservative. Yeah, he was probably already a conservative, but I can tell you a story about Sheriff Clark, and this is how far back we go. This is 100% true. I'd like to think that I'm the person who created that Frankenstein monster. That, what do you mean? So when I was on a different radio station, before I knew who Sheriff Clark was, then Sheriff Clark, I invited him on my radio show. And I would bring him on. This is just true, 100% accurate. And I would bring him on. And I remember the first time I brought him on the air. He was as timid and meek, and he had a whole lot of papers. And he came into the studio, and he was quiet as a church house mouse. I couldn't get him. He was afraid of the microphone. He was afraid of speaking. And so as time went on, and I was starting to find out who David Clark was, I would have him. He became my fill-in host, right? And he just changed. And he got to the point that one day came into the studio, and he had a whole bunch of papers, right? Because when he first would come into the studio, he wouldn't come without backup. I don't know what he was expecting. But he had somebody who was always with him, some deputies always with him. And so he brought the deputy in with him, and he brought all this paper. And I'm looking at him, hey, man, what's going on, man? Well, I got a bunch of things I wanted to talk about today. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Things you wanted to talk about on my show. Well, I just thought that we can do this, and I got some music here, and I'm like, whoa, man, wait a minute. You're the guest, right? And time went on, and David Clark became a monster. But again, I didn't see that. He wasn't that way, so I have to take part of the blame for creating that monster that you see every day now, or not quite as often as he used to be seen, but he's thinking about throwing his hat in to run for the United States Senate. Come on, man. Come on, David Clark. What are the chances? And where have you been? that time has changed since David Clark was so visible and, you know, and following Donald Trump everywhere and was Donald Trump's lapdog. You know, wherever Donald Trump went, he was there, he was speaking up. So, you know, TMJ and WISN, you know, saw David Clark, and they started putting him on the airwaves. And he got, became emboldened, and he became one of the ornaments during Donald Trump's election. And Donald Trump being the president, and there, wherever he went, all these rallies, Sheriff Clark was there. And so, needless to say, he wound up with the position Donald Trump gave him that didn't last very long. I don't know what it was, but it didn't last very long. The man disappeared, and now he somehow thinks that possibly he should be the next United States Senator from the state of Wisconsin. Ain't happening. You know. But anyway, that was, he's one of the people that the Republican Party has made put up. But then they reached back into the old bag of tricks. And they reached out to a guy by the name of Scott Walker. The Dickens, you say. Scott Walker. Scott Walker? The former two-time governor for the state of Wisconsin and candidate for president of the United States, who said he was running for president of the United States and shot his wad inside of, you know, a month and disappeared and was never to be heard from again. Well, so they asked Scott Walker, hey, Scott, we need somebody to run against United States Senator Tammy Baldwin, three-term senator, and a two-term senator. And Scott Walker basically said he doesn't want to be one of 500 people in the House and the Senate. It would bore him. It would bore him. Scott Walker, you know, as the guy without a high school or without a college degree, who was able to rise to the level that he was able to rise to, you know, who has now gotten a position of a lifetime. You know, he's the president of the Young America's Foundation, a conservative youth organization that does what? Grooms youth to be like he is and to be like conservatives. And he makes $1 million a year to groom children to become Republicans, conservatives. Isn't there a law against that? Is that what we need? Even more people who think like they do? Come on, man. Who in their right mind would put Scott Walker in head of indoctrinating children other than the Republican Party? But anyway, even he had enough sense to know, you know, the chances of him defeating Tammy Baldwin is slim to none. And the fact that, you know, he's in as cushy a position as anybody could ever be, you know, Walker said he's committed to the Young Americans Foundation through at least 2025. He said it's critically important that the work is important, noting that the 2022 Wisconsin race for governor, you know, Democratic Governor Evers piled up huge margins among those ages 18 through 29, that they could not compete against the Democrats, because the Democrats were getting younger people to vote Democratic and not vote conservative. So Scott Walker is charged with turning that around. Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Hey, good morning to you, Stephen. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I actually have a couple of things to say. First, Tammy Baldwin running for re-election. I kind of wish Scott Walker would have agreed to that, because that would have been an easy path to victory for Tammy, if he would have. I'm kind of curious who the Republicans are going to get to run against her. She's a pretty sound
formidable
candidate.
Yeah.
And also, David A. Clark. People like him. I know he is not the only Republican that's an African-American, but people like him really confuse me. I don't know, why they do what they do or why they have the philosophy they do, but the Republican Party really doesn't give a rip about them. They just use them as pawns to show everyone, hey, we're not racist. We have people that are part of our party that are, African American, but they don't really give it, they don't really care about people.
So there's been lip service from the conservative movement over the last three decades constantly. We've got to reach out to minorities. That's what they've said over the last three decades. It's critically important that we do. And then you hear them during the campaigns, more and more, blacks are starting to lean towards conservatives, towards Republicans. More and more Latinos are leaning towards the Republicans. And then when the numbers come in, they realize they fooled themselves. It's clearly not something that's in their wheelhouse. But what they do know is this. In a separate interview with the Journal last week, Walker said, "I'm literally 25 years younger than President Biden. So I have time. The work I'm doing with young people right now is so critically important. When you look at the margins, the 18 to 21-year-olds, 75% or higher are voting liberal. We have to get our core values aligned with where they had been in the past. We need to make inroads, or it won't matter if I run or if anyone else runs." What are their core values, Stephen? Do you know?
Well, they're supposed to be, small government. They're supposed to be, responsible with money and budgets. I say supposed to be because they're neither one of those things.
Yeah.
They're only small government when it's convenient for them. And they like to say that they, clear up all this debt and get tax breaks.
Stephen, we got to go, man. Thank you very much for the call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Do you own a Hyundai or a Kia? And has your vehicle been stolen? I just wonder. Because right now, 23 attorney generals on yesterday. You know, penned a letter to Kia and Hyundai, the car manufacturers, urging them to fix the nationwide car theft epidemic plaguing its customers. And I'm wondering, if your vehicle was stolen and because if I'm hearing it from the perspective of people on the right, the conservatives, they don't think that the manufacturer has any culpability at all on why these vehicles have been stolen. It is true that these young people have been stealing these vehicles. It is also true that it makes little, if any, sense that this is on the internet and shows children how to steal the vehicle. I've said this before. How does that make any sense whatsoever? Because then when the children steal the vehicle, the response is lock them up and throw away the key. Number one, there shouldn't be on any website showing young people how to steal cars. How does that make sense? That makes zero sense whatsoever. And nobody can argue against that point that it makes sense to show young people how to steal cars. What do you think they're going to do? Not all, but some. The other part of it is Hyundai and Kia are the two cars they're stealing because the other manufacturers, they can't do that with the way their cars are manufactured. It won't work. So then why wouldn't you say the Kia and Hyundai that they should fix this? If I own one of those vehicles, that's what I would be saying. Hey, why in the world should it be made that easy for them to steal the vehicles? And why am I suffering from that? Why is my insurance being cut off? People who own those vehicles are losing access to their insurance. And the rates are climbing through the roof because they own a Hyundai or a Kia. Whose fault is that? Why blame the owner? The owner didn't do it. The owner purchased those vehicles not knowing that they had the capacity of being stolen and by young children because of the way they're manufactured. And you know why? You got to blame, and the manufacturer is because all of the cars that came out after, you can't steal them the same way. The newer Kias, the newer Hyundais, they fixed that. They fixed it. So you know, that shows they had some culpability because they fixed that. So, and yeah, you could say, well, the kids themselves, Earl, you should be blaming the kids, you know. And I know that, yeah, part of it is the fact that every kid is not stealing cars. But we just had a young man on earlier in the show who talked about wayward children. He was one. I got to tell you, even when I was a kid, granted it was a long time ago, kids were stealing cars. Since there was a car, children have stolen them. But that doesn't mean that the corporation that produced them is not at the root of a part of the reason why so many people have lost their vehicles. And so many young people lives have been changed forever through either the chase that is ensued after the stolen vehicle by law enforcement or any of those things. Man, I don't understand it. Republicans are saying you shouldn't be blaming this on the corporations. It should be on the kids. And I'm saying, hey, man, what you okay? So if I agree with the philosophy of the Republicans, lock them up. Okay, we'll lock up all the kids who steal cars. Lock them up for life. 14 years old, first lockup, locked up for life. I don't understand, again, the thought processes of people who call themselves conservative. I honestly don't. You know, the corporations have waxed rich. Hyundai and Kia is not struggling financially. And so they clearly could have addressed this. And yeah, they would have lost a couple of dollars along the way. But man, the owners of the vehicles shouldn't be the ones suffering. They're not the ones who should be paying the price because they didn't manufacture the vehicle that made it that easy to peel back the column and start the car with anything you have to use with your cell phone. Come on, man. You know, it used to be more difficult back when, you know, you had to have a key. They used to have things they called knockoff keys to steal cars. But it wasn't as easy as it is to do it now. Listen, we got to go. Calvin, thank you. As always, man, for your work. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. It's 45 degrees outside. I know what I'll be doing. Be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Early Room Show. See you later.